Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Paul Papps from the Dan Patrick Show, which is based in Milford,
yep,
is on now to talk about the weekend in football. Hey, Paul.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Good morning. First of all, if you ever want to know why to use a tree service like K&J, just look up on YouTube, guys failing cutting home trees at their own house.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a guy out there.
Yep.
It's painfully hilarious. Cars, the guy's garages. Got the goggles on.
Yep.
He's got the helmet on. And then next thing you know, his neighbor's van is crushed.
Right.
And it'll make you sign up for a good service.
That's sometimes the better option. You ever see where they inadvertently turn it into a catapult? The branch snaps back and they're like, oh!
Yeah.
It's like the 1400s all of a sudden.
No, awesome. You don't want that.
So football.
It's the weirdest season if you're in New York right now, because if you went into the season as a Jets fan or a Giants fan, you're a Jets fan, you're always kind of down. You don't have great expectations. But you have this young quarterback, Zach Wilson, but then he gets hurt in the preseason. So you're like, okay, we're already behind the eight ball. They start out pretty well. Joe Flacco comes in, helps them out. The quarterback's back, Zach Wilson, and then they just smoked the Dolphins yesterday. And the Dolphins were the hot team of the entire month of September. Then you look at, if you watch the game in London, Packers versus the Giants, nobody thought the Giants had a chance, even because though the Giants had a really good September. And a lot of people missed the game, not New York fans, but people nationally, because it started at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. It's in London. The Giants were getting smoked the entire first half.
Oh, yeah.
They come back and beat the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. It's a very weird time to be a football fan in New York City, because you didn't have any expectations, and now you're not sure, do I have expectations for the rest of the season, or was this just a nice month?
Yeah, it didn't look good at first.
No, it's like, especially Jet fans, it's, okay, I know what you're doing to me, you're making me think there's hope, but then you're going to crush my dreams.
Yep. And another old man got wiped out on the sidelines by a player. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That was in the Giants game. The end of the Giants game. The guy holding... He was just standing there. He was, like, holding the sound, like, disc or whatever. And he just got trapped.
Oh, the bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got bubbled, all right.
Oh, man.
And got good sound on it, too.
He's got great audio of it. He's got great audio with his leg snapping.
Like, it was his mic. Right.
They should release that if they have it.
That's the sound of air leaving your lungs.
Awesome. Hey, it sounds like my knee being twisted.
I wonder if he sounded like the grape lady on the ground. Oh, please, help, help. No.
I can really hear hear his respiratory and everything.
No.
I just heard his esophagus.
You definitely lose breath immediately there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
but you know what? If you're going to get a hit, make it the sound, guys. We got good sound.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Leave your sneakers.
Do you guys ever notice, though, when an NFL player knocks over, like, a sound guy or someone on the sideline, some big dude, they never help him up. But if they knock over a cheerleader, they stop for just a second and check to make sure she's okay.
Of course.
That's true.
That's called being a gentleman.
Yes.
Being a gentleman.
There you go.
The guy, you
always
moved.
A gentleman.
You should have moved. You heard me coming.
And then the Patriots had a good day yesterday.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
That felt good.
It's very weird.
They needed it.
Yeah, the Patriots are in a very weird situation as well, because you come into the season. They actually made the playoffs last year, but no one really talks about it because they don't have a very talented roster. You got Mac Jones in year two. Everyone's like just dumping on them in the preseason, saying they don't have much offense. Then they bring in this kid, Bailey Zappi, which sounds like a WB quarterback in some teen show. And he played at Western Kentucky. Nobody really knows who he is, but he was a really good college quarterback at Western Kentucky. And he's one of those guys that, you know, the Patriots do this every couple of years. They find some nobody from a division, you know, a directional school, a 1AA school, like they did with Jimmy Garoppolo. So they had a really good day yesterday.
And I know it's the Lions, but 29-0. It's a good day.
Chaz, the Lions were coming into that game as one of the most high-powered offenses in the league over the first couple of weeks. It was unbelievable to shut them out.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
It's a very weird situation, because the Lions, they're always down in games, like historically, going back years. But this year, they were always down in games. But in the second half, they would score a ton of points. So I kind of gave the false impression that they had this great offense because they scored a lot of points. And then there's like a market correction yesterday.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it all caught up with them at once.
the concussion protocol. You think they're over? Is the NFL overdoing it now?
Well, it's hard to say because what happened was Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins, a few weeks ago, he gets hit. They say he doesn't have a concussion, even though if you're watching on TV, it clearly looked like he had something. And now they're kind of like overcompensating. And the new rule now is if a quarterback seems in distress or seems unstable at all after a hit, they could take him out of the game. If you look at the Dolphins game yesterday, which actually helped the Jets, Teddy Bridgewater, their quarterback, he got hit. And you can't really tell if it's a concussion or he just got whipped to the ground. Well, the neutral doctor on the sideline said, you're out for the game. And they did a neurological test. They did the concussion test, and they said he passed. So it's you could still not have a concussion, but be taken out of the game. So the NFL is kind of reacting to the public sentiment over the past couple of weeks, and they might be overreacting. And I think what's something to keep an eye on is down the road, if there's a playoff game and a high-end quarterback gets hit and he just grabs his head for a second, like, oh, I got my bell rung, will they take him out of a playoff game? So keep an eye on that one down the road.
Yeah.
How about the sideline guy?
That guy is out for for the season.
They don't have a broken leg protocol, just a concussion protocol.
There's a footprint on his chest.
We need a new bubble guy.
Go ahead, Pat.
The last painful thing I just want to bring up, and I hate to do this to Mets fans, is, you know, the Mets had this really good year, and then they kind of tailed off at the end, and it cost them in the playoffs. They had to play in the first round, and it's like, three games is over. The first round of the playoffs now is so quick. And if you're a Mets fan, you're like, we won 100 games and it's over. It's just very sudden. It's got to be really painful.
Gone.
What's up with them checking the Padres, Musgrove's ear?
Musgrave. Yeah, he has, I think it's fair to say he has good size ears. You know, he's a big man, and he was kind of sweaty. He's all fired up, and they're allowed to check the players. The umpires have like a check that they do. They kind of check to see what's on their hands. Comes back from that spider tech stuff they used to use a couple years ago. And Musgrave's ears were very shiny, and it looks just like sweat. But the Mets manager, but Chris Showalter, goes,
Stephanie's,
you know what?
Face, right? She's like, what?
Well, this is all news to me.
Sweaty
so
ears.
I'm like listening
sweaty
very
ears.
Carefully.
You can hear the ocean roar.
Chaz, they even kind of acknowledged during the broadcast of the game that this challenge might have happened because of social media. On Twitter, Mets fans were like, what is going on with ears? Look at inning one versus inning five. So Buck Showalter, the manager for the Mets, was like, we're getting crushed by this guy. If we go out there and we're right and they got to bring in a new pitcher and we start hitting like I'm a genius, at best, I throw him off his rhythm like
That's
it's
right.
worth to go out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the goal. And he's right that on social media, people are saying, why are his ears so shiny? What's going on? And every time he would like get ready for his windup, he would kind of like touch up by his cap at the back of his ear.
Right.
And people were going crazy about it. So it's just the weirdest visual to see this like 6'4 dude being stood around by a bunch of umpires. And
they
ask
make
permission
him take
to check
his
ears.
Off, right. And then they do like the woo-woo on the tops of his ears.
Right. Apparently a French fries.
Shiny ears.
Shiny ears.
Hey, shiny ears.
He needs some powder for
check your staff.
Right.
Yeah. Touch them up.
We'll shine. Mute it down a little bit.
We'll shine.
Paul Papps with the Dan Patrick Show. Do you have a Twitter we can follow you on, Paul?
Yeah, just at Paul Papps. We'll listen to the Dan Patrick Show when you can. And my cover song that's my favorite of all time, I'd say Joe Cocker covering I Get High with the Help from My Friends by the Beatles. I love that song because Joe Cocker's great, but also because John Belushi did an imitation of Joe Cocker.
That's right.
On Saturday Night Live with Joe Cocker on the stage. You can find it on YouTube. It's really legit.
It should live forever,
and
too.
The Wonder Years. You picture Kevin Arnold riding his bicycle.
All right.
There you go.
All right, Paul. Thank you. Stephanie Simone, Channel 3 in studio.
Hi.
Well, let's see. You interviewed President Clinton. So he was president at the time.
No. It was when he was former president, but they never lose their title.
They never lose the title.
Right. You still refer to them as president.
Yeah.
But he was great. It was, you know, when I say interview, people think like 60 minutes, sit down, you have a half hour with them. This was like all the reporters lined up. Maybe you can fire off a question. And he was just in Little Rock. I was working in Little Rock at the time.
Oh, wow.
That's where I met Roger, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was all of the reporters lined up. And he was very good at the time of coming back to Little Rock to stump for candidates, the Democrats in Arkansas. And so he would come back a lot, actually. And so, yeah, I mean, I fired off a question about, like, they called you the comeback kid. Do you think she can do it too? And he was, you know, gave a great answer and we moved on. It wasn't very, you know.
You're just looking for a soundbite.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
You want a question and that will invoke a clip.
Correct. So that's why, actually, Roger helped me come up with my one question. We were dating at the time and I was like, what do you think I should ask him? And he's like, talk about that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That's great.
We always bounce ideas off of each other. So that was good. But yeah, I would say my favorite, only because I had so much time with her, was Gina Davis, believe it or not. She was in Arkansas at the time. All my stories are coming from Arkansas this morning.
You interviewed more celebrities in Arkansas than Connecticut.
Is there a major airport there or something? That's why I got you on the layover.
Yes.
I just talked to you for a second.
The Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport, actually. International Airport. They just renamed the airport after them. But yeah.
Bill and Hillary?
Yes.
Well, they couldn't pick one?
They had to.
She
would have yelled at me all the whole time.
But yeah, Gina Davis was the best, I would say, because I had so much time with her and we talked about, it was really interesting. She talked a lot about how women in Hollywood should be paid equal to men when they do equal work. And she was really talking about, you know, getting more important roles for women, because when she was coming up, it was a little bit different. And so, you know, everyone thinks
I think
of her
it's all
iconic.
Box office, right? I mean, if you could do, you know, if putting your name on a movie almost guarantees it'll make $100 million. I think you can kind of ask for your own price, no matter who you are.
That's true, but I think there are cases where it's kind of like insane how much more the man is making versus
she
the woman.
Thelma and Louise Part Two. They
yeah,
survived.
They really ended that movie. Like there is no Part Two. There's a prelude,
unless maybe. You know, somehow they fell out of the car and they're hanging onto a branch. Well, what do we do now?
A condor swoops down,
exactly.
Picks him up, something
right.
Like that.
Right, right. Or you know, some guy like
a hand glider,
parachuting, a hand glider comes by and snatches him. Woo! Okay. Woo!
Yeah.
Yep.
Dramatic.
Well, do you use Brad Pitt as a pillow?
You met Katie Couric?
Yes, I met her at one of the last Red Sox Yankees games at Yankee Stadium, like the old Yankee Stadium. It was like when I was working in Savannah, which was 15 years ago. And so I just like happened to see her as we were all filing out from the game. And I was, of course, a young reporter at the time, so excited. And my dad was like, you should say hi. I was like, I don't want to say hi. I'm like,
yeah,
it's Katie Couric.
It's Katie Couric.
That's, and she, of course, at one point I saw her talking with like A-Rod, and I was just like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
We're going A-Rod, KC.
So anyways, so my dad was like, go say hi. I was like, I can't say hi. And so, of course, my father was like, oh, this is my daughter, Stephanie. She's a reporter in Savannah.
She's a reporter like you. Dad, shut up.
Dad.
Stop
yeah,
it.
Just like you, Katie Couric. And so, no, she was very nice. And she was like, oh, Savannah, the hometown of the Girl Scouts. And that's such a lovely town. And I was like, yes, it is.
Do you think
so
she has
nice
a little tidbit
you.
For every town in the country?
Probably.
I think she does.
Yes. Yeah. No, she was lovely. Lovely.
Oh,
so,
with the
short exchange that I had with her that I was, you know, loved at the time. And I was very excited.
It's better when they talk to you like this.
Do you have a celebrity encounter you weren't really a fan of?
Does this count?
We'd have to be celebrities.
I mean, I was going to say something, right. But no. No, I wouldn't say, I would not say anything. No, nothing that was like completely
bad. Can you hear the answer here, the real answer? It's like, yeah, I have a couple,
right.
But I'm not going to do it now.
Right, right. I'll
they're probably the still are. Alive.
Right, right. Within earshot.
No. Nothing awful.
Do we have a clip of me interviewing Martha Wash?
Sure. I can get that.
Okay. You know who Martha Wash is?
Please, backstory a little.
She sings, Everybody dance
now!
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, of course I know that song.
Right.
And then she's also the voice of Weather Girls. It's raining, man!
Hallelujah!
Yes.
Yeah, so she was playing at the Richfield Playhouse, and she comes in that morning, and she wouldn't tell me that she's actually that person
right.
Who sings those songs.
We don't know why she did this.
We don't know why. Yeah. We think she was on or off meds. We're not sure which
sure.
One it was.
Yeah, no.
So
there
did
was
you,
drugs involved.
So did you try and keep bringing it up, and she just wouldn't even go
oh,
there?
Oh, it was so painful.
It's something you have to hear. You can actually hear him sweat. It's going to make you sweat.
I kept playing that little clip. Everybody dance now. And then I think somewhere in it, I said, this is getting awkward. I was sweating. You
oh
ever
my
have
God.
A, interview so bad that you break into a sweat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, of course.
Which one was that?
Well, No. I mean, this is like very, I mean, this is not really anyone famous, but I once interviewed this director of a nursing home, and it was just about him building a new wing. And it was really supposed to be a good story, but he just could not get the words out. And I'm sitting there like, this is so wonderful for your clients, right? Like, how is this going to improve their lives? And he was just like, and he just could not form a sentence.
Thinking about the camera too much.
And I was like, just look at me. Don't look at the camera. And I just felt so bad for the
focus,
man.
Focus, sir.
But
focus.
At the same time, I was getting frustrated because I was like, I got to go. I'm on a deadline, man. Yeah. Like, come on.
And this clip is not going to be used, so I'm just wasting my time here.
Just don't spit out, for Christ's sake.
But that's PS. Well,
you just
painful.
Keep breaking the sweat.
Yep.
It's I know. All bad.
Yep.
Do we have it? Yes, it's Paul Arms. Let's go. Gonna make you sweat.
Hit the floor. Everybody dance
now. Now, you're not in the video, are you?
Oh, it was messed up.
That was a whole thing.
No.
What?
No.
No.
They totally screwed you over on that.
She doesn't look too happy.
She's sitting right across from me.
How's it going over there?
Good.
All right, good. All right. All right. This is really awkward. She won't talk to me.
Oh, that's so painful. Did she not want to talk about that song?
This goes on. It goes on. It's an entire 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, when you listen to it, people say, that's my favorite interview you've ever done.
Yeah. People loved it.
Well, they could feel you getting cringy. I mean, they
so horrible.
We were moist by the time it was over.
I was drenched in sweat. It looked like I ran the Hartford Marathon.
He made squishy sounds.
His ears were sweating.
Let me see your ears.
The umps had to come out and check my ears.
That's awful. I'm sorry.
Painful. Yep. Thank you. See, look how nice she is.
She's very nice.
Nothing to do with this. Happened years ago, but she's still sorry for
it. Because I could feel it.
You'll probably get a card.
Feel
later.
The awkwardness. It's awful.
Roger will send a card later.
So we even had the manager of the Richfield Playhouse call in and said, Martha, what's going on?
Right. Don't you remember this, Martha?
Like, Martha, what are you doing?
You begged her to call. You're like, please, if you're listening, call me right now. Something is happening. I don't know what's going on.
I said this on the air.
Yeah.
Do you do this song?
No.
You don't do it?
Mm-mm.
Now she says she doesn't do the song. Then she does.
This
is not your song?
Oh,
why would she do that?
My song.
I don't know.
You don't sing this song?
Mm-mm.
She was weird.
Pants and so much trouble.
This
just got really awkward.
Oh, no.
You weren't the voice behind the CNC Music Factory girl?
Mm-mm. No.
Really?
This is why she wasn't in the video.
Pam Blue is interview now. See, now it makes sense why she didn't say any of that was...
We can't comprehend why someone would do that.
Right.
So now I'm just saying Pam screwed it.
You need any explanation.
It's definitely Pam's fault.
I'm like, no human's going to come in who did a song and say they didn't do a song.
Right, yeah.
So we obviously got the information wrong.
Right.
This is not the right guess.
So under the bus you go.
This keeps getting better.
All right, but this one's you.
It's raining man.
Right?
Nope.
It's her!
Oh, my God.
It's her!
You're not singing It's Raining Men?
Mm-mm.
You don't sing It's Raining Men?
You're one of the weather girls?
No.
This is 7 minutes into it. Fast forwarding. It took 7 minutes to get here, and we're like, who is this person in
what's
the studio?
Going on?
Who?
How did she get in the building?
Who have we invited in?
I'm getting uncomfortable right now. Yeah. Like, I'm like, it's like uncomfortable to listen to it.
What are your hobbies? I feel like this is a hidden talent, this thing that you do.
This thing. Well, I really like to flip furniture and then resell it.
I mean, like flip furniture, you're mad. Table goes over.
Like the Hulk.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
She-Hulk, yep.
Like Alyssa with her. Tables at the daycare.
Right.
So I like to find like things really cheap online or Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, whatever, and then I like to transform them, sand them down, repaint them. I find it very therapeutic.
It's like and a Martha Stewart kind of thing.
Yeah, except, you know, I'm not Martha Stewart.
Yeah, she doesn't sand anything.
She doesn't bake in between. Yeah.
But yeah, I like to do that. And then I, you know.
Like, how involved can you get? Like, can you, are you gluing stuff back together? Are you
replacing handles and hinges or whatever?
Yes, I can do the metal work.
Nice.
And I can sand and paint, but that's about it. I mean, other stuff, I don't.
So you'll see like a dresser that's in good condition, but it just needs
knew that if it was painted a different color, it would look more stylish, or different handles, it would look more modern, and then I resell it, and then it's great. I make a buck. I like the process, and sometimes I keep it, so.
Right. So poor Roger with the SUV stuffing someone's car.
The other day, he saw two chairs on the side of the road, and I was like, he's like, we're going to get those. You're going to do them. And I'm like, what? Like, how do you know that those people just want to give them out? And he goes, that's the universal sign. You just, if you put chairs on the side of the road, you can take them.
But maybe there was a parade coming by.
Right?
Like, hey, anybody see our chairs?
What happened when we put them last night?
So,
they do usually leave a sign or something. Yeah.
I don't know, but these look just like ours on Facebook right now.
So I'm hoping I painted them already. So.
Okay. They're mine now.
No one ever knows.
I know.
Change serial numbers.
Except,
we're good.
Yeah. If they're listening now, they're like, that's where my chairs went.
I will find you.
That Facebook marketplace is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, they'll give stuff away. Like, this is free. First person who comes.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have a truck. You have to be ready to go. That's the key. It's like, just as soon as it...
They want it out now.
As soon as it goes up, got to say, I'm on my way.
No messing around.
Exactly. And the Buy Nothing groups, are you all a part of those? Those are awesome, too.
What is this?
It's like a bartered group. Yeah,
every single town has them, and all you have to do is do hashtag give, and you post something, and people will just come to your doorstep and take it away, which is great.
Oh, wow.
Because then you don't have to, like, drive anywhere, and you're helping someone else in your community. So it's a win-win.
Tell my neighbor, stand right here.
Barter group. I got to write that down.
It's called Buy Nothing. A lot of communities have them, all the different towns in Connecticut.
Oh, we got a couple of minutes. Can the tribe call up with the like coolest thing they got for free?
Ooh, I like that.
1-877-764-2535. My friend Leif in Tennessee got this fence to go around his backyard. Like the guy took the fence down.
Uh-huh.
It was brand new fence.
Just didn't like it.
Just didn't like it.
Right. Wrong color.
And like
wrong style.
6 foot pieces. Did the whole backyard.
Nice.
Free.
Awesome.
That would have been like thousands of dollars.
All right. I'm looking for a house. Anybody?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's really
and
cool.
Here's the kicker. It turns out the guy in Tennessee is from Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
And indirectly knew him.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
That is kind
it's
of
like,
bizarre.
Oh, you're that karate guy, right? Yeah. Breaks the boards.
Right.
That's right.
Right. So I took the fence down.
Yeah, help my fence.
Wait, do the old fence.
I need a fence to bring it. Yeah.
It's like, where are your tools? I got my forehead, brother.
Right, I got my forehead, my arms, my feet.
Yeah.
What do you think the like most money you made on something like this is?
I flipped some patio furniture and made $200.
That's cool.
I mean, I don't really like...
You're not doing it to make a profit.
No.
You're doing it because you love it, and if you make a couple bucks, great.
Right, and especially with patio furniture, we use it to host a party, and then we flip it.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
Chaz and AJ. Yeah. Can you put them on hold? Chaz and AJ.
Hey, hello. Good morning.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, Boston John.
Hey, so I got a free roll top desk, a real nice old one. I got it for free. I did like she does. I took it home to redo it. When I pulled the drawer out, taped underneath the drawer was an envelope with $500 in it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Amazing. Right. I love stories like this.
Can you imagine?
Right.
But it came out real good. I still got it today.
So nice.
Did you return the money?
No.
Thank you, John.
I had a feeling.
Survivor's coming up?
Correct. Tomorrow, actually, Mohegan Sun, there's tryouts and...
How do you try out? Stand there and starve? Maybe just starve for the next 40 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what would it be? Personality. They're looking for different personality types.
Show
if a fly
muscles.
Goes by, you snatch it out of the air, you eat it.
Right. This frog looked tempting.
I'm not afraid.
Right.
Cooking your shoe.
Right, exactly. Right. Don't shower for a couple of days and come see us.
So the tryouts for Survivor, whatever season they're on, 97.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been forever.
Yeah.
I know. It's such a great show.
My mom loves it.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch the weight loss.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's how to do it.
Yeah. Go to an island.
And... Go to an island and don't eat.
Right. Limit your water supply.
Right. Yeah. Be scared 24/7.
So we're at Mohegan Sun?
Yes. Yep.
Tomorrow?
Yep. And you can go check it, everything out on WFSB.com and the app. And we've got all the information there. I know Marcy Jones will be live out there, too. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah. How cool is that to be on Survivor? That would be great.
You can rent, what is it still $1 million? Like the
I'm assuming.
A lot of people, though, they'll take that fame and turn it into a career.
Yeah.
There's a couple people. Wasn't it that woman who's a conservative on The View? Wasn't she on Survivor?
Hasselbeck. Yeah, she was.
Oh, yeah, she was.
She was a contestant.
I mean, also, I think a couple of them are making a ton of money.
Yeah, the Army guy, the military guy, the older guy, he had a TV show for a while.
Right.
I think he since passed on.
Yeah.
But then a lot of folks used that as a springboard.
Right.
Yeah, you never know.
Stephanie, thanks for coming on. Congratulations on all your success at Channel 3.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be there anchoring the 7 o'clock news at night. And
oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm away from Coco Melon for a couple hours.
Yeah. Get a little break.
You and Roger, you're a dynamic duo of TV.
Seriously, yeah, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Nick, the science guy with the Connecticut Science Center, about this salt and ice challenge AJ was about to do. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning.
Good, thank you.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, don't do it.
Don't do the challenge. Yeah. Yes, the salt and ice challenge, it's not a good idea. I'll start with that. Yeah, I could definitely, people who have done this have had burns on their hands. So, yeah, just all around, not a great idea, as many of these challenges usually are.
Yeah, that's
never
true. That's a good point.
Right.
Have we had a challenge where we thought, you know, man, that made me feel smarter?
Well, I couldn't find any Tide Pods to swallow, so.
Yeah. Tide Pod challenge, also terrible, of course. That one was really bad.
Yeah, what is it about the salt and the ice? What's happening there between that?
Yeah, why has it happened?
Why is that happening? Why is it creating burns?
Yes. Right. So the salt is going to raise the sort of melting point of the ice. So basically what it does is it makes it colder than it normally would be. So what you're basically doing is subjecting the person to this challenge to extremely cold temperatures, which, you know, will cause a lot of damage, as you could probably guess. It gives you sort of frostbite burns. So putting that out there, anyone considering the salt and ice challenge, unless you want to have frostbite burns, don't do it. Not a good idea.
Dry ice. How do they? What's the deal with that? Because that also
that burns you.
If you hold that, that'll burn you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So dry ice is sort of a different kind of issue. It's not actually water ice. Dry ice is frozen carbon dioxide. So it's the same gas that you breathe out. Now the reason why it's so cold is it freezes at a much lower temperature than ice does. So water ice. So water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Dry ice freezes at -109. So when you're holding what looks like regular water ice, you're actually holding something that's exceedingly cold. And so, yeah, for a similar reason, for this cold temperature is going to give you frostbite if you hold it for too long.
Wow. We can, like, crush it like we do with the the Tickle Me Elmo doll we put in the, we froze it.
Yeah.
And shattered it.
Smash it into pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is very cool stuff. We use it at the Science Center for some really cool demonstrations. You can make fog explosions with it. It's very fun, but you have to handle it very carefully.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Yeah. You'd be the most fun person at a birthday party or a keg party, one.
Exactly. Beer's cold again.
It's fun for all ages.
Right. Yeah, when your lips stick to the beer glass.
The keg is frozen solid.
Right? What did you do? It's okay. A couple hours, it'll thaw out.
Nick, the science guy, is on with the Connecticut Science Center, and there's this really cool thing these scientists came up with, a way to neutralize cockroaches.
Really?
Finally!
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, finally. Science fiction is science fact. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So some researchers in Europe discovered a way to neutralize, destroy cockroaches with a laser. So basically the way it works is it's this machine that has these cameras that can spot a cockroach. And then there's a laser that that aims at the cockroach. It knows what the cockroach looks like because this laser is attached to a computer that has been fed images of cockroaches, so it can recognize a cockroach. And
all
then
different angles, different colorings, different shades,
wow.
Different lighting.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the key. You don't want it to just fire off, you know, just on a whim. It can recognize that is in fact a cockroach and not some other creature. So it's specific to that one insect. It's not just a motion detector.
Wow.
It's not just firing at anything.
Can you put a solicitor setting on there? Person comes to your door.
That's for a follow-up study.
That'd be awesome.
No, but I'm surprised that, you know, that's not in the basement of Langley somewhere. Someone didn't see that and say, wait a minute, we're not using this on bugs. We're going to buy that off of you, and we're going to take it over here.
Right.
What I think is pretty crazy, though, is that as high tech as it sounds, the researchers posted the schematics and the coding on GitHub. And so if you're really committed, you could bake your own AI-powered roach killer.
Really?
Uh-oh.
But, again, disclaimer here. So the lasers they use are pretty powerful. You definitely would need to be very careful with the laser they use because they could seriously damage your eyes. So this is not going to be something that's wow. You're going to buy on Home Depot because it wouldn't pass any sort of safety check.
I love that there's different settings.
Yeah.
So you have one that will make them nervous and turn around.
Okay.
Change their direction.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
And then there's one that just neutral, like you're dead.
Done.
It's like a phaser.
I think
set on stun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Caress. Yep. Exactly right.
Yep. Puff of smoke.
Right. Massage.
Yeah. It's can condition them to just the lower power version can condition these cockroaches to not hide in a certain spot. So, but yeah, it's pretty wild. And I think it's really cool that and it's not just cockroaches. You could use it to neutralize other insects like hornets or mosquitoes or things like that.
Hornets.
Folks running for office.
No, but that's, if you think about it, it's really interesting that this is where they start with cockroaches.
Right.
But they can make this for people. This would be complete protection for a base.
That'd be awesome, right? Right? Home.
Yeah.
Home security.
Exactly, right?
It starts to get pretty complicated when you're talking about something as, like a human, you need an extremely powerful laser to damage a human body.
Instead of yelling, get off my lawn, boom.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
There's a YouTube video you should check out. It's like a person who used lasers to mow his lawn.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Nice.
All that.
Yeah, yeah. Laser mow lawn. If you type that in, it'll pop up. But, it's not as dramatic as it sounds. Like, it takes forever for it to actually work.
Right.
But he did it. Yeah. It's lasers are, you know, they can be jacked up to whatever power you want.
With soft hands and minuscule attention spans, the last thing we're cut out to be doing is yard work. Why should I be stuck out here in the hot sun?
This is a 19-minute video.
This is, this is where they kill themselves.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's way
You need a voice like Nick's because you want to hear what he has to say because it's lively and fun.
Yeah.
This guy sounds monotone. Like, Bueller? Anybody? Bueller?
Right. Wow, I think it was pretty damn good, though. But it actually burns a little.
He's got a sped up after a while, and it looks like multiple days go by, and he's getting just like inch by inch.
Yeah, that is tough.
Yeah, I need to cut it like with an hour or so.
So yeah, we've got some work to do.
These lasers that will kill cockroaches, though, that has to, if it could kill a cockroach, it has to at least sting a human.
I would think.
You'd have to feel it.
Right. Is that the next challenge or what?
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, you can feel a light sting or something, but yeah, it's not going to do anything that's all that crazy. We actually use lasers in at the Science Center too, and we were doing some tests with green laser pointers, and we're firing at just sort of a black foam core, and it caused the foam core to smoke. So it really is like a heat machine.
That's and of course, fun. You know,
makes great it makes great paninis.
Yeah, that is fun. You do weird stuff like that, like.
take a laser and point it at your coffee mug to heat the coffee
exactly
back up?
Right. Oh, man, these fries are cold.
Oh, I wish I could eat my coffee up that way. That would take probably longer than it took that guy to mow his lawn with the laser.
Gotcha.
Nick, anything going on at the Connecticut Science Center?
Yeah, this Friday is an event called Observe the Moon Night. It goes from 5 to 8. It's awesome. There's lots of cool live science demonstrations. We'll have telescopes on our terrace. So you're it's just stargazing. Then come check it out.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. We'll link up on the radio station website. Thank you, Nick. Stump the Chumps. You call in a Halloween movie trivia question. We can't answer it. You get in the running for a $99 gift card from Chevrolet of Milford.
Right.
1-877-764-2535. We are working on our own horror movie.
Yep. It's been great. It's
gonna
be,
I do. I think it's going to be great.
Yep. Oh, my God. I would watch it. Because it's kind of like a virus on the planet that we want eliminated. And this monster in the movie, or hero, depending on how you want to look at this person.
I think hero, but okay.
Goes around killing influencers.
Right. Yeah, the person licking the toilet, you know?
Yes, not the good ones.
Yes.
There are good ones.
Yeah, they're good ones.
No, the bad ones.
Yeah, the girl licking the toilet during Corona. Remember that time? She was an influencer.
Right.
And she got sick, stupid jerk.
That person. Yeah. Those types of people.
Right. The ones who just basically need to go.
Yeah, they need to go. The kind of people that will ruin a treasured art piece just so they can get more followers.
Look, I got more likes.
Mm.
Yeah, no.
Those people.
You got to go.
Not the hot girls in the bikinis. They're fine.
What are they influencing?
Me.
Okay.
No, but, you know, those the people that we dislike.
Right.
And we thought, you know, so 15, 20 minutes into the movie, we're loving this person, this monster or hero.
Right.
And then they kill an influencer that we all love.
Oh, okay.
They go too far. They've already killed all the people we don't want to see anymore.
Right.
And we're all like, this is great.
The world's a better place.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing but positivity on social media now. Everyone's positive.
Look at that.
They turn into the thing they were trying to get rid of. They become the negative thing now.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They become the villain that we all hate now.
Right. Yeah.
Then they kill one that we all love.
Yep.
And everyone is like, that's it now. Oh.
Chaz, I'm going to write this.
Oh, and every time they kill someone, does a selfie. Post it on social media.
Yeah, and then the world turns against this monster.
Right. So it's telling us what to do.
Yeah, I like it.
Nice.
All right, let's go to the phones. $99 gift card. Stump the Chumps. Halloween movie trivia. Dom, Long Island.
Yo, yo, what's up, guys?
Hey.
AJ.
Yo, yo.
Who was the preacher that was killed on TV in Trick or Treat?
That was Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes, sir.
Pulled him right to the screen.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Oh, no. He scraped his fingers across him. He was like, I gave him a stroke. There was a lady who was also against the devil music, and he pulled Sammy Kerr pulled her through the screen, like just all of a sudden pulled on. She came out this like charred, like almost like a log, and he threw her on the ground next to you see the kid vacuuming up her. That's awesome. That was a great movie.
Wolfman too. Mm.
Wolfman was on that.
Yeah, he was the
That was Nuke. That was Gene Simmons.
Oh, right, Gene Simmons. Oh,
hey, kids, it's party time. Yeah.
You get a gas card, AJ. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Monique, North Haven.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Who is the first actress chosen to play in Halloween?
Oh.
The first actress chosen to play.
You know it. I don't want to say it.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
That's what I was thinking,
too. Do we want to go with that?
That's what I would say.
What does Phil say?
Well, she actually did it. She's asking who was the first one. So it was probably someone who declined.
Right. Well, Sissy Spacek was saying
the first one that was asked.
The first one was asked.
Oh, I feel like it's Gina Davis.
That could be anything. Gina Davis?
She's just everywhere.
She's too tall.
Her mouth is...
I want to say like Sissy Spacek, but Sissy Spacek was in Carrie.
You got a pretty mouth, Gina Davis.
Then she had to be in this movie.
That other horrible movie, Coal Miner's Daughter.
But, Monique, am I understanding the question correctly, or did I confuse it?
Well, you're understanding it correct.
Okay. All right. So Jamie Lee Curtis played the role, but what was the actress that was offered the role first?
Someone said Sissy Spacek.
That's a good guess.
I got nothing better.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It's Anne Lockhart.
What else is that?
June Lockhart's daughter.
It's Anne Lockhart.
Yeah.
Duh.
What else is that?
I don't know who that is.
I mean, duh. You don't even know what it is either.
That's what I said.
Did we get your number?
No.
Yes. Phil says yes. Right. You're in the running.
You're in the running.
Thank you.
Oh. Okay, thanks.
All right.
Welcome. Do we know who the actress is?
No.
Okay.
Chris in West Haven.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
It was.
So the question I got is, what was the original title of the Halloween movie?
Oh, wow.
The original title.
Oh.
Was it Trick or Treat?
Was it October 31st?
Oh, Trick or Treat's a good guess.
That was good.
I was going to say October 31st.
October 31st, yeah.
It's the date.
Right.
Oh,
Trick or Treat is good.
That's good question.
Is that when it came out, though? I feel like it weirdly came out like in the summer.
Halloween.
Yeah, but it's about, you know.
I know what it's about.
Trick or Treat, I don't know. What do I call it, September?
What are you doing, Matt?
You remember? I mean, just everything I say. Like, that's stupid.
I want to consider, I don't want to just come to the first answer and be like, yeah, that's definitely it. We should consider other things.
Okay. What do you consider?
Trick or Treat. What do you think?
Let's go with Trick or Treat. Yes.
It was actually The Babysitter's Murderer.
Wow, I'm really glad they didn't.
That is.
Go
no
with
wonder
that.
Why they changed it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And by the way, we would have never got that.
No, we would not have.
All right. Thank you. You're in the running, Chris. Ken in Oxford.
That's cool. $100,000 bar.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys? Happy Monday.
You
too. 100 grand bar.
What two Connecticut towns in Litchfield County was Friday 13th Part 2 filmed in?
Oh, what if we get one of them?
Does one work?
Yes, one will do. One will do.
Okay. We know this one. This has been told to us. Yes.
Yeah, we know it. It seemed like you knew it based on what you just said.
I forget a lot.
I don't know.
I did damage in the 80s.
Someone said this to us.
Part 2000.
During one of our Halloween phone subjects.
All right, what was the question again?
What two Connecticut towns in Litchfield County was Friday the 13th Part 2 film?
Litchfield County. What part of Litchfield County looks kind of creepy?
Jesus.
Well, it needs to have a lake, obviously.
Right, okay. So, okay, so it has a lake.
Bantam.
Oh, no. I'm thinking.
No. Sharon.
No. What's that one? Morris has that big lake, or is that part of Thomaston? There's a big lake, but is Thomaston part of Litchfield County? I don't know. I don't think so. Right. So I don't know.
You're so entertaining when you're confused.
Thank you. Appreciate that. No, I'm trying to think things out here. Goshen's out, right? Because Goshen doesn't have a lake. I'm trying to think here. Washington, that's further down. No.
I'm going to say Sharon.
Oh, why not?
I thought you were closer with the first one.
Mm. Bantam?
Yeah, but I don't know why.
There's not enough woods in Bantam.
I couldn't tell. I have no confidence that I know a correct town in Litchfield County.
And Bantam Lake is picturesque as opposed to creepy. Mm.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Sharon.
That's a hard one.
Is that your final answer?
Sure, why not?
All right, so the opening scene is filmed in New Preston, right near Lake Warramog, in that little village you cut through to get there.
Preston
does look
creepy.
The rest of the movie was filmed in Kent.
Oh, damn it. I was just in Preston, too. It does look kind of creepy at night.
My thought was Danielson, but I had no idea if that was in Litchfield or not.
Damn you to hell!
So damn you!
All right,
good job, Ken.
All right, so far,
thank you.
So far, we're sucking at this.
We're doing well.
It's called Chumps That Suck.
I don't watch scary movies. I can't watch scary movies.
Cheryl in Waterbury.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, what is Eddie Munster's middle name?
Wolfgang.
You're too good.
Yeah, it's stupid stuff like that.
Good job, AJ.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.